Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by
Nathan Swift, Arts and Entertainment Editor.
Aaron Gretsch, News Editor.
Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. Okay, guys, so today we're going to be talking about the start of the Our Pantry and homelessness among students. And we're also going to be talking about Margaret Cho, who came to our campus. And we're going to be talking about finals week. Dun, dun, dun. All right, guys, so Margaret Cho, how was it you guys went?
Aaron and I went to the show together, and a few other people on the staff for the Highlander went as well.
It was pretty good. It was pretty funny.
Oh, no. It wasn't just pretty good. It was great.
It was pretty good.
How was the turnout?
It was really large. Like, Aaron and I, we also went to the Comedy Apocalypse show this year. And I think there was, like, what, 40, 50 people there, I think you'd say? Like, in terms of, like, audience turnout, right? Yeah. So, as opposed to that, you know, and I'm not, you know, talking down on, you know, The Barn or Comedy Apocalypse, but, you know, as opposed to that turnout, the one for this was, I don't know, maybe...
Close to 100.
Yeah, like maybe even 200, because, like, almost all, because, you know, they had folding chairs out in the front, and they were almost all, you know, full, I believe. And then they had a couple rows in the basketball seats behind us, like... You know, like, filled out too. So there were a lot of people there.
Yeah, I mean, we came in like around like 7-ish, a little bit later, like when in the middle, like not in the middle, like as soon as, what was her name?
Celine Luna, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. As soon as Celine Luna started performing, and we got a pretty good seat actually. I mean, people were filling up later, and obviously, like, as Margaret Cho came in, that's when it filled up a little bit more. But, like, overall, like, it was pretty good. She was a good warm-up act, I guess. But, like, as soon as Margaret Cho went on the stage, she just, like, completely killed it. It was, like, good. Like, killed it in a good way.
Yeah.
Okay. So did the audience, I guess, have a good response to her?
I definitely say so. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, a lot of the jokes that both Celine Luna and Margaret Cho, you know, said, you know, a lot of those were like, you know, the sort of jokes where, you know, someone might go, oh, and laugh, like in that sort of, like, I can't, you know, like they actually said that, like, sort of way. I mean, like, personally, I love that type of humor, and you know, when you get, like, the audience to do that a lot, you know, it's definitely I think that's the result of a good show, because, you know, the worst case scenario for that would be you tell some edgy and, like, no laughter.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I wish I would have gone, actually. I haven't gone to any, like, comedy type shows on campus. So
you should start going. I mean,
I thought Comedy Apocalypse was this year was whatever. I mean, this quarter was, like, it was okay.
No, it was great. It was great.
Nathan tends to overhype a lot of what he says, but the Margaret Cho's event was really good. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know. I've seen quite a few comedy shows, like, off campus as well. Like, I've been to Improv and, like, The Laugh Factory in Long Beach. So I've seen a couple of those. Those are both pretty fun.
Aaron's just talking down on me because he doesn't like edgy humor.
I love edgy humor.
Sometimes it can be, things can be cringeworthy, and you're like, I'm not sure if I should laugh.
There were times where, like, I just legitimately wasn't laughing in the audience, you know, because I just didn't find
it. Like, during the Margaret Cho?
No, yeah, and then, like, he was, like, kept on pushing me, and he was like,
yeah, I kept on looking at you, I'm like, come on, like.
He was like, come on, start laughing, and I'm like, I'm gonna laugh when I find it funny, I'm not gonna laugh because you tell me it's funny.
Yeah, I don't know, I mean, everyone kind of tells these types of jokes, you know, to, like, their closest friends, like, in person. And then to have, you know, a performer not say it, or sorry, to have a performer say something similar, and then for, like, you to go, you know,
I don't know. Like your ability to make fun of a dead Joan Rivers and still make it perfectly fine and funny.
Oh my gosh,
she bashed on her so much.
Yeah, I mean,
it was well deserved, though.
Okay, side note, Joan Rivers is amazing, or was.
No, it was amazing, but she was kind of mean.
Well, I mean, like, that was her style, yeah. I mean.
But, like, yeah, but... Margaret Cho was able to take, like, her her, I guess, cruelty towards people that tend to be overweight, and like use that really well and effectively in her show, and then turn it kind of back on that to kind of like, you know, empower big people.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, she was talking about how when Joan Rivers was on her deathbed, she was like, no, Joan, you can't go. Elizabeth Taylor's in the light.
Oh, yeah. No, but speaking on the Joan Rivers thing, like, for those of you, you know, who read her paper, you know, on a weekly basis,
I hope you do.
Yeah. If like, for those of you who don't, you should start doing. Oh, no. We can't
say
that.
Definitely.
Sorry.
Definitely read The Highlander.
Yeah. But I wrote the coverage for the Margaret Cho show, and a lot of the things that were said on stage, they a little unprintable, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
And so but I'm just saying that in the context of how great the show was.
Well, that's good. Did she interact with the audience at all after the show, or did they have like a meet and greet type thing?
No, I mean, you know, I'm the type of person where, you know, I might not ask one of our, you know, videographers for an interview, because it's usually a very like on the dot basis. Like, mm-hmm. if Margaret Cho would have come down to the audience, you know, and talk to people, then I definitely would have gone up to her and say, hey, you know, thought it was great, love the show, and by the way, I'm, you know, an editor for the school newspaper, you want to come to the office for an interview, you know, which, I mean, I wish she would have done that, but both, you know, comics, they just kind of, I think they just wandered off, right, Aaron? I think
I think this is definitely something that we should schedule more ahead of time, though.
Oh, yeah.
As well. And then just in case, even no matter how big, I'm pretty sure, like, down, like, they're, I don't know, Margaret Cho and, like, her friend as well, they both, like, I guess it's just, like, the kind of feel I get from stand-up comedians. They seem, like, really down to earth to mm-hmm. most people. Not that many of them, like, with the exception of Dane Cook, seem like they're cocky.
Oh,
but then again, Dane Cook's not a good comedian, so.
Oh. Ooh, throwing shade.
Ooh. All right. Well, it sounds like, in general, it was a good show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it was something that we kind of needed for, you know, the week before week 10, finals weekend, and all
yes.
that.
Yes. So also in the newspaper, we have an article about student homelessness and the Art Pantry, which got its mobile start on May 27th. What do you guys think about that, the Art Pantry in general, and just, I guess, opening up the discussion about homelessness amongst good students?
Well, for one of the things, I just really quickly wanted to address this, because as soon as you brought it up, it just popped in my mind, something that someone else on our staff was just mentioning, that like how it's just unregulated, anyone can come in to take the food
right,
that they need,
and
it might get like exploited or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I don't know. I personally, I don't know. I think there's just a certain type of thing. I don't really mind that people, like, whoever should use it, I think it should just be open to, like, everyone. Like, I like the system that they have in place now,
mm-hmm.
because at the same time, like, it's something that, like, people face often, and for, I think, if you're really in that situation of need, regardless of what it is, you shouldn't be forced to ask questions, like, to answer questions in order to, like, or, you know, to show your status or, like, your paycheck for food, you know?
Right.
It's just such a dire need, and it's, like, really no one's business, like, whether or not, like, you have financial means to sustain yourself by. I think it should just be open to everyone. I mean, I think with the systems that they have in place is now, and with that, they had a lot of food there. They still had a lot of food when people were coming in. I think the main just problem is trying to get in fresh and healthy foods.
Right.
That's going to be difficult to do, but, like, luckily with the R Garden, we can try, like, a little bit more so. So I think, if worse comes to worse, like, we're going to have to give out cans and things like that, you know, if there's, like, mm-hmm. just a lot of people. But, like, those are plenty of perishable foods, I mean, that people are going to have, you know. We're not giving everyone, like, you know, five-star steak dinners and everything.
Exactly.
But, like, those are honestly things that, like, people honestly need. I mean, you're, like, it really sucks that if you're going to be at the end of the, like, at the end of, like, your rope, you're going to have to choose between either, like, rent a textbook, Or like
laundry, you know.
Or like laundry, too.
Laundry,
it's like,
laundry.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, oh, well, I have to smell like crap this week, so guess I'm going to go over to the 99 cent store and, I'm going to smell bad this week, so I'm going to go over to the 99 cent store and then, like, get some corn and stuff, I guess. I don't know.
I could definitely attest to that for last year because I lived in an apartment where I had my own living space, but mm-hmm. I had no kitchen. Like, all that was provided was, like, one of those mm-hmm. little mini fridges. So, like, half the school year, I was living off of, you know, boxed mac and cheese and oatmeal. And so, you know, breakfast would be oatmeal and, like, a glass of milk or water. And then, you know, late lunch slash, you know, dinner or whatever would be, like, mac and cheese. And then, like, I might switch it for, like, the day. Yeah. I'm kind of in that situation a little bit right now. I mean, like, this school year, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have a good, you know, job working at the Highlander. But yeah, like, when we were describing what we had for breakfast for when testing the mics here, you know, I was describing bacon and hash browns and eggs. That's, like, basically the little food I have left in my place. So, you know, I mean, for all those who might criticize, like, the food pantry, like, we have people on our staff here who can testify, hey, this is pretty important.
Right.
Yeah, especially our assistants.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, a lot of people always talk about, you know, starving college student, and people do struggle a lot. I think what the main problem is, I guess what people would be concerned about is having people who don't need it as much just think, oh, I'll just go in there and, like, get all this food, instead of, you know, having it for people that do really need it. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it would be kind of hard to regulate that without, I guess, maybe making people uncomfortable and, like, asking a lot of, you know, personal questions. So that can be kind of difficult.
Well, and perhaps just to play devil's advocate, it could be argued that those types of, you know, smaller regulations are important because, you know, the worst case scenario that, you know, the school and administration could imagine would be people who don't need the food, who, you know, maybe in the early weeks of the quarter might just store up and get, you know, so much food so that, you know, by week 9 or 10 or finals week, when a lot of people are like us basically and are struggling, you know, like, they're like, oh, hey, you know, I just stored up all this food throughout the quarter, you know, I'm doing it just for myself or like my roommate and I. And so, you know, perhaps smaller, like, it doesn't have to be really huge. Like, maybe when you go get food, you can only get a certain number of, you know, items a day or a week.
I think that's how they operate.
What?
I think that's how they operate.
Okay, yeah. Like, I don't know. I like, if it's something as small as that, I don't think that's really prying too much into privacy. Yeah.
I wish they would, like, the only thing I would want to change, I mean, like, the mobile food pantry isn't going to be operating, like, on a weekly or daily basis, you know? So I think what they need to do is, if they're going to find an area on campus, I think family housing would actually be a really good area to place it in, because, well, like, there's going to be, like, a lot of families there. I mean, it's mostly for, like, students that have families, and, like, same thing with faculty members, you know? I mean, because not all faculty members are driving, like, a Mercedes-Benz, a really nice car, everything. There's, like, a lot of lecturers on campus that only make maybe, like, about $30,000 a year. Like, where people and staff, like, in dining services as well, that are, like, in the higher-up management, make more than them and as well. So we have to always kind of, like, take those factors into consideration. But yeah, I think they should also, like, kind of team up a little bit with dining services, because dining services throws out so much food, just so much exaggerated. I mean, that's, it's just really just sad how much food they throw out.
That's a good idea.
Give it to the food pantry instead.
I think when we mentioned it either in our editorial this week or an article, you know, a while ago when the food pantry was announced, I think we're the last UC to open up a food pantry.
Yeah, I believe UCLA has one, UC Berkeley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Berkeley. Yeah, like, all, what, 9 or 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, on the one hand, you know, it's like, finally, you know, we're doing this. We can take some pride in this. And also, it's a little disappointing that it's taken us this long to get to it. Perhaps,
yeah.
If that's the right word to use,
yeah.
I mean, historically, like, UC Riverside has always offered plenty of financial aid to, like, a lot of students as well. So I don't understand why, like, it wasn't really implemented earlier. Since, especially, like, we're more catered to students that, like, have Pell grants, that receive a lot of, like, financial aid funding, and yeah.
Yeah, and especially given when you implement, like, other factors. that are important for the school. Like, you know, a lot of students here are sort of impacted on the economic, you know, ladder, or a good half, as the biggest guest, you know, of students are commuters, I believe.
Yeah, so, we have a really good, good amount.
People probably also face like a lot of financial emergencies as well. Like, you can't really judge someone. I mean, like, you can always, like, there's always that, like, you know, that joke tossed around, like, that, oh, that trust fund kid or whatever, it's like gonna use it to like help them out, but you never really know, like, if, I mean, it's just there just in case you need it. Like, let's just say like your parents make a lot of money or something, but like all of a sudden something happens,
right?
Like, you're gonna eventually find yourself in that type of situation. I mean, I like, when I was younger, I just remember growing up, my mom like lost her job like a couple of times, and like she was telling me, it's like, you know, it's just like really just sad when like that happens, because like, especially for some people, it's like they just have to be working, because that's where they find like their pride or something in, like their self-worth in. So it's, you can't really gauge that, you know. So I think that's why there shouldn't be really that many regulations on it.
So never judge a book by its cover. Hashtag Highlander. Oh, I had something. Yeah. Dang it. I think it was hashtag Highlander Lessons or something.
Yeah, I think more than anything, our pantry and just even our editorial has like opened the discussion to talk about homelessness on campus and things like that. Because I know a lot of people who are in that situation, they might not be that open talking mm-hmm. about it. And I know a lot of people on campus just who aren't in that situation may not be aware of it. But I've heard stories of people passing by people in vans with like four or five students, like mm-hmm. all getting ready, like putting on their clothes and brushing their teeth and things like that. And a lot of people don't know that things like that are happening. So I think it's important, even though it's a little unfortunate we were the last ones, but at least we got it going. And hopefully it can be a resource that a lot of people are able to use. So I think it'll be good, really good in the long run.
Hashtag Highlander Pride. I found the hashtag
exactly,
that works, guys.
Exactly. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android. Okay, so we're in week 10. This is like the last stretch.
We did it, guys.
And then finals week.
We're almost there.
It's among us. Ugh. So, now I know that a lot of people procrastinate, but if you are not one of those people,
then you're a liar.
Week 9 is like that romance period, because it's like the last period where you can get out all your parties and everything
exactly.
else
oh, yeah.
like out of it. So like, you have to make sure that like, if you're going to go have fun, like you do it like Friday night, week 9, when you're finally done with your last midterm for that one class. I would obviously schedule a midterm for week 9, because why not, right? Why not?
No.
Let's just
give them ideas.
No, I was being sarcastic, because there's our professors that do that. And like, cause you to do that instead of, you know, like pushing it off to week 10. But you know, there's also going to be people partying Friday and Saturday of like finals week.
That's true.
That's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
But what advice would you give to the student body to do well on your finals?
Oh, gosh.
24-hour libraries open either today or tomorrow.
I've heard it was today. Yeah. Or if not yesterday. Right. I've even heard all of week 10 and finals week, although, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the best way is to actually look it up or
so
go down and check
grab
yourself.
Your tents, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, grab your tents, grab your sleeping bags, yep. Grab your boxes and boxes of ramen.
Week 10 usually has me like that one joke from the Avengers where they're like, oh, when did you become like an expert on thermonuclear physics? And it's like, last night.
You know, that's going to be me and my history class.
I swear, after this, I would have written a dissertation on Shakespeare.
Nerd. I'm just kidding. Nah, but okay, so I guess my turn for advice. And I guess we can go back and forth. I guess one thing that kind of permeates, you know, around the campus is, you know, a lot of students, you know, going back to what you said, Aaron, you know, a lot of students have that kind of week 9 sort of romance mm-hmm. period, you know, where it's like, we can still, you know, relax and not worry. And then week 10 comes and it's like, oh, it's, you know, the final week to turn in projects and, you know, final papers and study for your
the
final
papers
exam.
That were due week 3 that you just barely managed to turn in.
Well,
after your grandfather died for like the third time.
Oh my gosh. that kind of hits a little close to me. But anyways, yeah, you know, and so a lot of students kind of go into that panic attack, you know, mode where it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, and I kind of, that kind of like really hit me my spring quarter of my freshman year. And I, you know, I had some friends to talk to and I was able to, you know, calm myself down. And like, you know, like the best thing to do if you're really worried about your grade, you know, just honestly, just talk to your professors. You know, because for me, you know, I emailed and went to the office hours of those professors, you know, for those classes that quarter in which I was worried about. And they're like, oh, yeah, you've got, you know, A's and B's, you know, like one C or whatever. Like, you're totally fine. You know, just do well on like your final stuff. So and also, you know, for usually final exams and papers, and whatnot, I think nowadays, you know, professors, you know, they make that at like 40% as like the lowest like portion of your grade, you know. Because I don't know, I think it's a little bit of a ridiculous policy to follow, but that's just me. But yeah, so if you think you're like borderline struggling or just barely hanging in there, just talk to your professors and your TAs and just study a lot. Like, turn off the Wi-Fi in your, you know, apartment or your dorm, whatever. Just no Wi-Fi. Just you know, relax and know that things are gonna be okay.
Also, calculate your grade. Like, if you have a 31% and, like, you need 100% on the final to pass by with 69.
I'd still advocate talking to a professor.
And your professor is Venkatram from Mechanical Engineering 1-8 seed. All the engineering majors that are listening to this are like, woo, we know what he's talking about. Like, I'm not an engineering major. I just know about him. But, like, yeah, if you have, if you're in that unfortunate situation, there's always withdrawing from a course. That's like a last resort. But like at the same time, a W looks nicer than an F on a transcript. Just saying.
Yeah, and then plus if you do like bomb or, you know, withdraw from a course, you could always, if you do sign up for summer sessions, you could just like redo them then, where they might be easier.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always.
You always have options.
Yeah,
I'd say more than anything, advice I need to take too, is to stay well rested, because I know it can get really difficult. And if you are studying last minute, you might think that you should stay up all night and, you know, try to get as much as you can out of whatever material you're studying from. But something that happened to me, actually, I was studying a lot for a final and then I woke up really late and my final was at the UV, and I was frantic, like running out of my dorm and everything. So it didn't, you know, didn't turn out that great. So if you stay well rested and you study before,
yeah,
it might end up, you know.
And yeah, because, you know, this is pretty popular, like yik yak and all that, but it's totally true. Pain is temporary. GPA is forever. And if you really do feel like you're struggling, you know, just know that we're all struggling. Sorry, struggling. Wow, that was bad. Sorry, I'm really tired. And in the words of the immortal poet Michael Jackson, you are not alone.
Exactly. And do take advantage of the 24-hour library thing going on.
They give out free stuff sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes they have snacks, I hear.
And
yeah.
Like Scantrons.
I think they did that for, I think, Latitude 55. I think last quarter or the quarter before, they had free snacks. Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, so our campus has a lot of great stuff. Just saying, check out during finals week and everything might help you.
And also, I think the dorm, the cafeteria halls, I think they also do free, like, coffee and snacks.
Yes, they do, yeah.
So, yeah. And then you can meet people who are having as much anxiety as you. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember I worked one of those nights when I used to work in dining services.
Oh, man.
Like, those were fun, but, like, you know what? If you don't know how to work, like, a coffee machine, like, how to, like, do it correctly, or if you're just, like, really rageful, please don't handle your own coffee. Give it to your friend. Be nice to the poor guy there, because, like, odds are he has his laptop open. He's studying for his final. That's at 8 a.m. the next morning, too. So don't worry.
Oh, and also, please don't overdo the Adderall and the caffeine. I mean, like, you know,
yes.
I'm sure plenty are like me, where, like, you pull an all-nighter with caffeine and you have, like, 3 or 4 cups. And I, you know, swear I had, like, the equal amount of, like, cardiac arrests Like, I'm in the middle of dying, and I'm like, nope, sorry, body, sorry, God. I've got this midterm. I've got this exam. I really need to be alive for this.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so this will be our last newsroom of the quarter. Do you guys have any favorite articles, I guess, of the year, or just something you enjoyed doing on campus?
I liked Amy's protest article, the flag one. That one was really good.
It was about a month ago, right?
That was about a month ago. And yeah, the one that she wrote before that, which is really good, which actually got her to senior staff, I've heard, was when she talked about a founding member of UC Riverside passing away. So, yeah, Amy's good to go. Yeah, she's a really great writer. I'm going to miss her a lot. Especially
she's graduating.
Working with her so closely. I mean, to the point where I would be like, Amy, I would cry. I'm like, yes. You know, yeah, she was definitely like the homie number one, like in the office. She definitely helped me a lot. And like, I helped her a lot though too. We kind of helped each other, but
that's
like,
good.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, I've got a few, I guess. And yeah, sure, shameless plug, but I really like how I started the Building Culture project for my section. For those of you that are unfamiliar, Building Culture, you know, it's sort of a play on words, where we plan on, you know, going around different buildings and different, you know, structures and areas around, you know, the campus slash city, and you know, like kind of get to know the people and the history behind, you know, this person's favorite bar or that person's favorite, you know, museum or library, you know. And you know, unfortunately we only were able to do two articles on that. The first one I wrote was for the barn, and the second one our former managing editor Jake Rich, shout out, did for Back to the Grind. And so and you know, there are different things like communications, you know, between trying to get interviews and whatnot, you know, just little things that kind of like ate up time. But but yeah, I definitely, you know, now that we have a few articles on that, I definitely want to do that, you know, more often next year. So hopefully you guys will see more. And yeah, and also a shout out to also our assistant features editor Robert Lees, because he covered most of the I think most or if not all of the Comedy Apocalypse coverages, you know, like all of those articles on that. And you know, he's gotten letters to the editors from, you know, people saying, oh, this is great, good job. So, you know,
yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And shout out to Cameron Young for all that video footage in such a short amount of time. That was crazy.
That's true. Yes, I really
came in at the clutch.
Yeah.
And also our former video editor James, how do you pronounce his last
name?
Vero.
Yeah, because like in his last few weeks here, he had to do, you know, edit a crazy amount of hours for ACCR. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all been working really hard, but it's paid off, and we're almost at the end.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. And this is it. Sign out, guys.
As soon as we're done here, I'm going to be finishing my final for a class. Probably going to stay up all night. So, yeah. Good luck to those studying for finals.
After this, I'm going to go visit an abusive girlfriend. Oh, I mean ASUCR. Same thing. They're both the same. It's basically the same thing. And please cry my eyes out. <That's good. laughs>
All right, guys, good luck on your finals. Don't procrastinate. Get some sleep, and hopefully you'll do well.